This book, as a young Christian, I was told, don't even read it, because it is so negative. And for a while, I didn't read it. I was afraid. I thought, oh, what'll happen? Will you get demon-possessed, or will something go weird in you? What'll happen? And a lot of people today teach it like there's something wrong with it. Now, this has been placed in God's Word for a reason. So this is God-breathed. This is God's Word. So I am convinced that even though some of it may be a little more negative than you like, I think that if we'll listen, that we can learn something about God, and we're going to learn a whole lot about ourselves. It's kind of embarrassing, just like a lot of the Bible can be, but we learn a lot about ourselves. So I think this book is very interesting, and it's probably about time that we get through it. It's a short book. It's only 12 chapters, and so it won't take very long. And to begin with, because of the many references that the writer makes to himself, most people believe that this is King Solomon because of the many references he makes to himself. As a matter of fact, the first chapter, and well, the first chapter and a half, even more interspersed through, you're going to find that this is basically an autobiography and kind of an interesting way to look at it. And what the king will show us is his life, our lives, without God. What it's all about. When you take a look outside and you, the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people that you deal with, many of them that don't know the Lord, yeah, it kind of shows you where they're at, where they're coming from, how they're feeling, what they're thinking. Maybe you have forgotten. You've been saved 2 weeks now and you've forgotten what it was like to be without God, and how people think. Solomon's going to talk to us and write a lot of this, and he's going to say, I was away from the Lord. In other words, this had nothing to do with the Lord. This is what I was looking to understand. This is what I was trying to comprehend. This is what I did and how I felt about what was going on. He tried it all. He says he tried to figure all of it out, you know, and people ask you, what is life? Why are we here? What on the earth is going on? Where are we headed? What are we doing in the meantime? What's up? I should have said, what's up? He tried it all. He tried it all out. He tried to find where happiness was and fulfillment were, and where peace, where are they to be found? He says they're not to be found. He'll tell you that. You can't find them. To find love, to find peace, to find happiness, and all those things that everybody seems to be looking for. That's what they tell you they're looking for. I just want to be loved. Oh, I just want to be happy. I tell people here at this church, they say something to me and I just look at them and say, you've offended me. I'm quitting this church. I don't like it. It's become a joke. I mean, that's just how we treat life. I'm quitting life. I'm not happy now, you know. I'm offended. Life says, I don't like God anymore because I prayed and I wanted this and I didn't win the lottery. And so I'm never going to church. I quit. Solomon says that. He says, yeah, I checked it all out and I found out it's just a waste of my time. You and I will see ourselves here in the book of Ecclesiastes if we're willing to admit it. And when you see yourself in the Bible, that's always good, even if it's in a bad light, because it gives us an opportunity to pray about it and say, oh my goodness, there's an area God could really work in my heart, change my life. So we'll see ourselves. We're going to see the world. We're going to see mankind, fallen men, without God, without hope, without any way out of the mess that they're in. Feel better now? Well, if you do, we'll take care of that right now. We'll do chapter 1. The words of the preacher, Ecclesiastes, or the preacher. Words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. The teacher or the preacher, or you could literally say if you want to, the public speaker. These are the words. He's written them down. The son of David. These are the words. The king in Jerusalem. We're talking about Solomon. Solomon was a wise man. Solomon, when God said, what can I give you? Ask you anything and I'll give it to you. And you need to go look. You go back and look at, well, I guess you should get a running start at all of it. So start in 1 Samuel. Do 1 and 2 Samuel, then 1 and 2 Kings. Go on through those so that you can see, and then go through Chronicles. That way you can see. Because God says, you're on the throne of your father, David. And what would you like to ask for? And Solomon was smart. He said, I want wisdom. Because I'm in a position to oversee these people and to adjudicate or to judge issues between these people. And I need wisdom to do that. I am not up to the task of trying to help these people. I need wisdom. Now listen, God gave him wisdom. But because God gave him wisdom, you're thinking that it was spiritual wisdom. But it wasn't. It was worldly wisdom. And the world came from all around to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But much of that time, Solomon was away from the Lord. So there is worldly wisdom, and it does work in cases, but understand that spiritual wisdom is so much better. The wisdom from above is first pure. And remember, we studied that already. But Solomon's got wisdom. That's what he asked for. That's what God gave him. But he was away from God at times. And so that's who we're talking about. The teacher, the public speaker, the king of Jerusalem. He goes on to sum up the entire book. Verse 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. If you wondered what his opinion of the entire world is, if you wondered what he thinks about all of life, he summed it up for you in just a few words. Empty. Another word is useless. This guy's bummed, huh? Wasted. Meaningless. Listen. Meaningless. Meaningless. There is no meaning to this life whatsoever. It's like, the thought here is like a big balloon. It's big and it's kind of beautiful, but it's empty. It's filled with air. There's nothing there. That's what all of life is. And what he's talking about isn't that the trees aren't pretty and the animals, the little fuzzy animals aren't cute. What he's talking about is all human endeavor. That's what he means by life. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. He'll say it later on. He's going to say it's like chasing the wind. By the way, if you caught it, what would you do with it? You think, that's a bummer. Hey, look at life. Come on, look at your own. Be honest. What's it all about, Elfie? It's almost Christmas time. I mean, what's it all about? What do? You get up, you go to work, you go home. If you got a job. Get up, you go to school, you go home. If they'll accept you in school. If you're retired, you get up, go to bed. And whatever happens in between is you're free to do as long as it's not a sin. What's it all about? Then tomorrow happens and what do? You get up again and you do it again. I'm talking to young people just recently and I say, man, I cannot believe it is going to be 2004. And they say the years are flying by for them. They're in their 20s. The years are screaming by. What are we doing with it? Getting up. Going to work, going home, getting up, going to church, going home, getting up, going to eat, going home. And what's being accomplished? Think about it. Think hard. Nothing. And Solomon, in all his wisdom, says, it's empty. What are we doing here? What's it all about? Solomon says, I'll tell you what it's all about. this life without God is nothing. It is empty, wasted, it's meaningless. Now, take a look at the people that you know who do not know the Lord. Some of them say, oh, I live for vacation. Well, that's pretty neat. And they go into, where are you going this year? You know, this year we're going to Hawaii. Last year we went to the Caribbean. The year before that we were over in Europe. Well, how was it? The hotels weren't that good. You know, it was kind of neat to see some things. People in France didn't like us. How's it in Hawaii? It was pretty good, but you know, we got bored with the same temperature every day for a few days. And where are you going next year? Next year we're thinking about going to someplace really cool. And then they'll get up tomorrow and they'll go. And it's like, it's nothing. And soon you're 70, 80, 90 years old and you're looking back and you're going, what happened? What just happened to me? Boy, I feel depressed now. But it gets worse. If you don't belong in America, worser. He says this, what profit has a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Hey, there's a rhetorical question that the preacher asks. Rhetorical means the answer is understood. The answer is none. What profit down here on this earth, meaning under the sun, down here on this earth, what profit is it all? You worked for 30 years for the company. They gave you a nice little watch. Well, they used to. Now they don't. They give you a left foot of fellowship a lot of times. And then you're in, you know, a piece of paper and get the out. And now you can go play golf. What profit? What did it do? What did it cause? What happened over the time? And the answer is none. You say, hey, don't say that, man. I'm getting ready to go into this and I'm going to retire at it. Yeah, well, I'm on the other end. I know what you're headed for. Jesus said, what does a man get if he actually gets the whole world and loses his own soul? And I know people who have a lot of money. And having a lot of money didn't do it. They're still looking for peace, happiness, love, and so they're checking it out in just more expensive neighborhoods. That's all. Living on easy street like Job. What profit? It's a rhetorical question. There is no profit. What profit has a man of all his labors which he takes under the sun? And you look back and maybe you did some good. Maybe you built some things. Maybe you started a business from nothing and now it's all up to something. But just think, when you're gone, maybe the business will stop. Maybe it'll keep going. Nobody knows. But it won't be yours. You'll be dead. You know, you can see that Solomon is going, what is it? What is going on? And he's going to try everything. Because there's got to be more to this than just getting up, going on in, coming back, getting up tomorrow, going on in, coming back. Pretty soon you look and your life has gone by and you just got up and went in. Got up and came back. Verse 4. Oh, it gets better. I mean, don't break into tears. Not better in chapter 1, but I mean, it does get better. Okay, let's see. One generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. Okay, in his language here, he's not saying that the earth will never end. We know in the New Testament that the earth will burn away and melt away with a fervent heat, and the elements will, and that, not just the earth, but the universe. But God will create a new heavens and a new earth, and et cetera. But here's his point. The earth has much more stability than you do. The earth has much more stability than I do, than man does. What do I mean? Man comes and goes, but the earth goes on and on and on. Till it's completely done, the earth goes on. Now, it's been around thousands of years. Most of us, I have to say it this way, most of us were not here 100 years ago. You thought I was, but I wasn't. Close. Most of us were not here 100 years ago. Most of us will not be here in 50 years. Now think about it. We weren't here 100 years ago. We won't be here in 50 years. We're not around much, are we? What are we doing with it? Got to go to work. Got to go to school. Got to sit down, rest. Got to kick back. Got to do it again. Got to do it again. How long have you been doing it? I'm doing this 20 years. How long have you been doing it? 35, man. Wow. What do you got to show for it? They gave me a watch to let you know your days are numbered. Time is ticking off. There are redwood trees in California. There are redwood trees that were here when Jesus walked the hills of Galilee. Did you know that? Those trees are old. Jesus was walking around in Galilee by the sea, and those redwoods were there just growing. And yet, you and I, here and gone. Our lives are relatively short in comparison to everything around us, the trees, the rocks. You feel better yet? Never mind comparing your life to eternity. Just compare it to a tree. The trees are hanging around longer than you are in some cases. And he says, one generation passes away, another generation comes. Man, I wonder how many people have lived on this planet, owned property, and thought it was theirs. Since Adam and Eve ate themselves out of house and home in the garden there, I just wonder how many people have come on thinking, we're going to get it together. We're going to straighten this place out. We're going to handle it. You know, we're going to make it a better world. They're gone. Is it a better world? Do this. You know, the sun, verse 5, also rises, and the sun goes down and hurries to the place where it arose. Please don't misunderstand. He is not saying the sun actually rises and goes down. They realize, because Scripture teaches that the earth is round and spin. You can see all that. You can go to Isaiah and learn all the science for yourself. His point is, and we use the same terminology today. Listening to the weatherman the other day, he said sunset will be at 4:06. I thought, you mean he thinks the sun actually sets? No, he understands spinning and turning in the sun, and he knows. But that's the term we use. Solomon, same idea. See, the sun rises. Sun comes up in the morning, goes down, hurries back to a place where it got up, where so it could come up again. Rises in the east. It'll be there tomorrow morning, whether we're clouded in or whether it's a clear day. It'll still be rising in the east. You can check it out. He says, the wind goes toward the south, turns about and to the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. All the rivers run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place from where the rivers come, there they return again. See, these are some accurate observations made by this scientific king, King Solomon. He talks about the storm currents, the winds and the storm currents. Wow, he knew a little bit about the weather. Of course, he studied it. He studied all kinds of things. So he understood the storm currents at least a little bit. Talking about how the winds go. He talks about, or he alludes to, the evaporation cycle, or the water cycle, and talking about evaporation. And you know how it goes. The sea is not full. The sea doesn't overflow. The sun rises and it goes down. That sounds monotonous, and maybe it is, but the truth is, that's something that you and I can count on for sure. God said it would be that way, and that's something that you can count on. It doesn't matter what the weather is like tomorrow. It could be cloud cover, it could be clear, but the sun will rise in the east and go on down in the west. And if the sky clears, you'll see it. You'll see the sun as it makes its path across the sky. And it'll go back down, and then tomorrow it'll start again. If it's a clear day, you'll see it. If it's cloudy, not. But either way, if you can fly and get above the clouds, there it will be. So the good thing is that you and I can count on that. Some things are sure, and God promised that they would be. He also talks about this evaporation. You know, the water is taken into the air. Evaporates, it's taken into the air. The winds come along, blows it over the land. It dumps on the land, rains, snows, whatever it does, comes down, melts, gets into the streams, into the rivers, back down into the sea. The sea never overflows. It continues on. You can count on it. All things are full of labor. Verse 8. Man cannot utter it. In other words, it never stops moving. The earth continues on. Everything's work, 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 work. You've noticed that. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Literally, your eye never gets full. And what that means is you can see and see and see all day. You can even read at night. You can watch TV. You can keep seeing. And when you close your eyes and rest, open them tomorrow, they're not so full. I can't see anymore. They're just, I can't take it in. You know, they can just keep, they never get full. Your eyes keep seeing. People say, we're going on vacation. We're going to go to a place we've never seen before. We just want to see the scenery. We're headed over. We're going to see New England in the fall. We're going to go down and see the Smoky Mountains. Man, when the fog comes in, it's a beautiful thing. We're headed for California because we want to see those kind of people. And they just want to see things and keep taking that in. And the eye is never full. It's the same with the ear. Your ear is never full. It will keep listening, continually listening. As long as it's functioning correctly, you never overload. You just keep on hearing. You never get full. You think, well, anybody knows that. Well, Solomon's just telling you what he's learned, what he knows. People like to go to a place they've never seen before, a different part of the country, or even a different country altogether, because your eyes never full. See, man wants to explore, want to see. You know, let's get something that protects our eyes and let's go underwater and let's see down there. Let's get some light and look at those fish. Look at those weird critters. And then they go into caves. Why do you want to go in there? Because it's a hole, man. And you go down deep and you take in. What do you see? I saw this rock. Wow. Got pictures of it, too, for the people that don't want to go there. See, man wants to explore. They want to go inner space, outer space. They want to go everywhere. Why? To see. Why? Because the eye is never full. It wants to hear more because the ear is never full. Verse 9 says, and this is very interesting. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old time, which was before us. You think, what a negative attitude. There is nothing new under the sun. You say, oh, yes, there is. No, there really isn't. If you just think about it. There's no new thing under the sun. His point is clear. Man's environment may change, but it really stays the same. You see, you can travel. Maybe you did it on foot. And someone came along and invented a wheel. And so you started traveling on wheel. And someone came along and tamed a horse. And put a rope and pulled the wheel with you on it. And so now you're still traveling. It's just that you're being pulled on a wheel by a horse with a rope. This could get complicated, couldn't it? Someone comes along and does a steam engine, or maybe builds a little boat and hollows out a log, and now you're still traveling, but you're floating instead. Or maybe they come along and invent an airplane, and now you're just going at a different speed, but you're still traveling, aren't you? Nothing changes, even when things change. He said there's nothing new under the sun. People are going to travel. They're going to find ways to do it. Space shuttle, they're going to do it. It's pretty easy. See, the stage set may change, but the actors will keep on. You may be scene three. Now we're not inside Homer's grocery store. Now scene three takes place at the church down the street, but here it goes. Nothing has changed. Life is still continuing on. That's his point. You know, we may communicate with drums. We may communicate by phone. We may communicate wirelessly with satellites. But the truth is, we're going to continue to communicate. No one's going to come up with a better idea. We're going to continue to communicate. They'll just find different ways of getting it accomplished, but nothing new under the sun. What's been done before will be done again, he says. And notice this. There is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come hereafter. Or shall come after, I'm sorry. No remembrance of former things. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, really? No remembrance of former things. And then I thought, oh yeah, that's true. I don't remember things from this morning. No remembrance of former things. You know, it's amazing how quickly we forget things and people. We make games out of it. It is a modern tradition to make a game out of it. We call it trivia. Back then it was important. Now it's just useless info. Like, who was the 7th president of the United States? And you're going, I don't know. But that's important, man. How many have there been? It's not like there have been 1,000 of them. Who was the, you know, can you remember who hit the most home runs in 1980? There are guys and girls walking around who carry that information in case a game of trivia breaks out. You know, I know that there are men and women who read through encyclopedias on the internet and through dictionaries in case they need to get into a game and they bet a dollar a point or something. But your average person... You see, let me tell you, talking about normal people, not encyclopedia memorizers, there is no remembrance of the former things. Think about it, guys. And you stop and say, what's the name of that actor, you know, my favorite one? He died like 20 years ago. What was that guy's name? Who was the pastor? Remember that church we used to go to back there when we first got saved? What was that pastor's wife's name? Remember how important she was in our life? Remember how they really helped us? What were their names again? That's how important they were. As soon as you're gone, you are gone. You just don't think so. But Solomon says, I'm telling you, that's a fact. I remember a joke. Let me tell a joke. I don't hardly ever tell jokes. But so there's a guy who's talking about his memory. You know how we have trouble with memories. But the guy was talking about his memory. And he called his daughter. And she asked, how are you doing? You've been having trouble with your memory. He says, I am doing much better with it because the doctor gave me some medicine. It is really helping. She goes, wow, is it new medicine? He said, yeah. She goes, what's it called? He said, oh. He said, what's the name of a flower? And she goes, Lily? He goes, no. Orchid? No. Lilac? No. Rose? That's it. Hey, Rose, what's the name of that medicine? That's how quickly... That's how quickly you and I mean, listen, out of sight, out of mind. We are humans. We don't like to admit it, but you think back. Remember that real good friend you had in high school? Man, she was great. She was a cheerleader and her name was Bill, but I can't remember her last name. That's how important she was. You know, that was, and you think back to last week and we met this couple of men. They were nice. And you see, let me tell you something. There is no remembrance of former things. Oh, we like to pretend there is, but there is no remembrance. And no, he goes further. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come hereafter. You know, when you and I are gone, if the Lord hasn't come back by then, nobody's going to know we were here. Nobody's going to want my tapes. They're probably not going to be tapes by then. Nobody is going to remember much about us. Look at the famous people you don't know and don't care about. You can't name the last 10 Nobel Prize winners. you can name a couple because you know they didn't deserve it. But I mean, basically, you know, something stick in your head like, that's crazy. But it'll be gone soon after you fill it with other trivia from the encyclopedia. You know, like, who found gamma rays that are so important in the things that the medical profession deals with the x-rays and all those things? Who found them? Some of you know, but important as that is, many have thought, oh, what's her name again? Solomon was a pretty smart man. Can you name five of the top 10 hits of 2003 on the Billboard charts? People actually walk around singing them and don't even know it. I mean, the list could go on and on. So we could start our own trivia game. Our whole life has become a trivia game. Verse 12. He goes on and says, okay, after letting you know all that, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Remember, he was a rich king and a wise king. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. I gave my heart, he says, to seek and to search out. I made it my life to study a bunch of things. What do I mean? I looked out, searching out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. In other words, all the things that are done on this earth. I gave my heart to study it, to search it out, to find the wisdom in it. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I gave my life, my heart, to the study of the philosophies, the educations, and the doings of this world. Everything under the sun. That's a lot of study, wouldn't you say? That's a lot of time spent. He's the king. He had the money. He could buy the books or he could get the materials and he could do the study. And he said, I gave my heart to it. You know, Solomon lived almost 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. And he was well versed in the philosophies and the education of the known world. 1,000 years before Jesus. And isn't it amazing? That was almost 3,000 years ago from right here. And we still haven't improved on those philosophies yet. Don't you find that intriguing? That the philosophies, the major philosophies that Solomon studied, have hardly changed in the last 3,000 years. Oh man, we've come a long way, baby, because we have cell phones. Solomon didn't have those, you know, a little can string. I don't think he had a can. Maybe. A little clay pot string. But you think about the philosophies, the philosophers, and the logic that's tossed about today. And 3,000 years ago, it was the same. Solomon studied it all. We've created more gadgets. We've created certainly more gizmos. I mean, that's right. I like little toys. But there hasn't been any improvement in philosophy, and obviously there has been no improvement in worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is today getting people nowhere, just as it got Solomon nowhere 3,000 years ago. That's impressive. Studying all those things, Solomon said, that humans do under the sun, meaning on the earth here. Solomon said it was a real chore. Notice the verse says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail has God given to the sons of man to be exercised. God expects us to think and to learn and to ponder, I guess. And what Solomon says is, I did. I gave my heart to it. And it was a real chore. It was a difficult thing. Literally, it was a burden to me. A lot of people want to be seen as very smart. And Solomon was a smart man. He's going to mention how smart he was in just another verse or so. Pride was something he obviously had to deal with a little bit. A lot of people today, they'd rather look smart than holy. They'd rather look intelligent than close to the Lord. Solomon says, I gave my heart to it, man, and it was a chore. It was a difficult thing. It was a burden. Look at verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He says, it's all a heavy burden. It's all emptiness. I've seen all the works. He says, I've seen it all. I've studied it. I've made a study of it through my life. I've given my heart to studying it. And it's empty. It's a waste. It's a burden. You know, and then he goes on, says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Think about that. Because he's giving you a powerful spiritual principle here, or spiritual teaching. There is an old saying, those of you that have been around for a while, you remember this old saying, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Remember that? Remember that old saying? As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Or, and let's say that in American. The reason that the tree is crooked is the twig started out that way. Make sense? As the tree is bent, so grows the tree. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Now, think about you and me. Think about mankind. That's what Solomon is talking about, mankind. He's not talking about twigs and trees and things. Notice he says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. What's he talking about? Let's back up. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun. He's talking about mankind and the vanity that we're living. All the things we're doing. All the things that are being accomplished. There's nothing new under the sun. Remember, this has got nothing to do with technology. It's got everything to do with human beings. That's what he's studying. Now watch. He says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Watch this. You and I, that's us, we start out life in our old nature. You are born, I am born, we are born sinners in the old nature, the nature of our father Adam. We are born separated from God. We are born separated from God completely, therefore dead, on our way to hell. We are headed for suffering and eternal damnation when we're born. Cute little thing, everybody says, innocent, give it a few months. It'll be whining. It'll learn. That baby, that boy, that girl will learn. It can get its way by noise and keep you awake. And I'm telling you, at 3 weeks, they know. They know they're keeping you awake. They know. Because you can see this kid going, 3 o'clock. Watch. And here we go. Then everybody fights on whose turn is it to get up to stop this? We start out our life bent. You hear that? I was born bent. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. You were born bent. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. You were born crooked, and you cannot be made straight. That's what he said. Our old sinful nature. Yeah, we can educate that sinful nature and be smart sinners. We can do that. And that's always nice. And we can do a lot of things to improve that old sinner. You know, move them up to a nicer neighborhood, get them better clothes, get them going here. You know, we can do a lot of things, but you can't straighten it out. What do I mean? It's still bent. It's still the old nature. Get it? Jesus says to Nicodemus, Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 6, he says the same thing Solomon said. Solomon said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Look what Jesus says, John 3, 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so he says to Nicodemus, so Nicodemus, you must be born again. You were born of the flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You need to be spirit. How do you do that? You must be born again. Nicodemus says, how could I do that? How could a man be born again when he is old? Jesus was talking about spiritual rebirth, talking about giving your heart and your life to Jesus Christ to be truly born again. You see, you're not going to straighten out this bent nature, this old nature. You need a new nature. It has to start out straight, not crooked, because that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Jesus said, that which is flesh, flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Verse 16. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate. He says, I said to myself, in my own heart, I'm come to great estate. And I've gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. I'm smarter than my dad. I'm smarter than all the kings, you know, smarter than Saul. I've got it together. I'm rich. He says, I said to myself, look, I've come to great estate. In other words, dude, you've got it all. I mean, Solomon was rich, thanks to his father David, and of course to his own wisdom. But Solomon was rich. The riches that guy had, the people would come from around the world to see, to hear his wisdom and see the riches and the amazing thing Solomon, you know, that went on with Solomon. He goes, I'm great, dudes. Do you remember the guy that Jesus talked about in the parable who said, man, I had a bumper crop. I got more. I got so much stuff. My barns won't hold. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's coming in so fast. I can't keep up with it. Man, our business is booming. We are doing great. So I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns. I'll build bigger barns. I mean, to hold more stuff. And you know what? I've got so much in this year. I'm going to retire. I'm paraphrasing. This is what the guy said. I've got so much, I'll tear down the barns, build bigger barns, and I'm going to sit down and retire. I'm finished. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to say to my soul, you're great, dude. You're doing fine. Just take it easy. Relax. You've got it for life now. And God said to that man, what? You fool, tonight your soul will be required. You're dying tonight. Your soul's being, the literal language means recalled. Your soul's being recalled. God gave it. It's going to come back to answer to God. Now you built these big barns. You've stored up stuff. And God says, who's going to get it? You could have used it for the kingdom of God. Who's going to get it now? Solomon says, I've got wisdom. I've got music. I got my brain. Who could ask for it? I'm sorry. I commune with my own heart, saying, I'm having a ball. Lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me. My heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, hallelujah me. I'm good. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly too. I just dived into every bit of it. I perceive that all is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom, underline this, is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Wow. I gave my heart to know wisdom. He says, I dived into every bit of it all the way. Not only that, but to know madness. And folly too. I thought, let's go check it out. Let's just go drinking. Let's just see what happens. Maybe that's the way to this all. Let's do some drugs. How about sex? How about, let's go. Let's see. Solomon says, I got into it. I got into the madness and the folly or the foolishness of all that was around the world. Notice, guys, wisdom and foolishness sometimes aren't very far apart. There's that thin line, Solomon says. And Solomon says, I tried it all. Madness, by the way, here means foolish practices or ideas. I remember specifically a group of teachers. They taught K through second, K kindergarten, first and second. It's about six or seven of them. About mostly ladies, but a few guys. And I would see them every Friday night because I was playing in the bar rooms. And when I would be off the road, I would play at home in a lounge and just kind of play for fun and huge money. These people would come in, and you know, when you're there six straight weeks, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, you get to know the people by name. You start talking to them. They say, hey, play this, or hey, do this, or you know, and you talk, and where are you from? And so I'd ask them, you know, they'd come in and they would just get loaded. Just, I mean, so that they had to carry each other around. And I'd say to them, what do you guys do? When I was talking to the guys and girls, I'd take a break. They said, come over to our table. And I'd say, what do? We're teachers. Oh, really? What do you teach? Kindergarten. First grade, second grade. Wow. Cool. Well, you're here every Friday. I noticed you're here. Oh, yeah. This is our thing, man. After a week with those little brats, we come in here and we just drink till we can't see. Drink till your ears come off. And, you know, Solomon says, I tried that. I've tried it all. But I noticed each week they would come back. And then they'd be sick on Monday probably, but then they'd go for it all through the week. And I thought, wow, if the little ones are tough, I wonder what the high school people. So those teachers, they don't come here. They probably just go straight to the hospital and do alcohol intravenously. Just pour, just have it go through, just so they can be gone. I don't know. I have no idea what it must have been like for junior highs and high schoolers. But madness here means foolish ways of doing things, foolish practices and foolish ideas. And he says, I've tried it all. He's going to talk more about these kinds of things in upcoming chapters. And he says, as we read in verses, what was that, 16 through 18, and then we'll be done. He says, it's a heavy burden to go through all these things, and it was emptiness, a waste of my time also. What is he saying? Peace wasn't there. Calmness wasn't there. Joy wasn't there. Happiness wasn't there. I'm trying, you know, I'm looking around and just trying to find the wisdom in it and how it works. He said, no, it wasn't there. It was all a waste of my time. And then he says something that kind of surprises us before we go into chapter 2. He says, in much wisdom is much grief. Wow. Remember, this is worldly wisdom he's referring to here. You see, peace and joy, true satisfaction, rest in your own heart and soul doesn't come from having worldly wisdom. That seems to be what everybody's after, though. There's an old saying, we probably use it ourselves. Ignorance is bliss. Maybe you've heard the saying. And the truth is, part of that is true. A little bit of that is true, Solomon says. Because in much wisdom there's grief. The more we know, the more we realize what's going on around us, the uglier we see it is. Haven't you noticed that? Now that we live in an age, they call us this age of communication, where you can get news not right after it happened. We can get news as it's happening. We can watch wars go on. We can watch suicides taking place. We can watch hostage situations right there live. And with that, you're thinking, oh, the world is gross. I mean, it's getting worse. And it doesn't bring you a real confidence, a real peace. It doesn't bring, you see, somebody tried to do something good. Someone else take a shot at him. It doesn't bring you that real confidence going, oh, man, what a great country. It brings you frustration, doesn't it? Grief. Thinking, oh, and just think without being without God. Think about watching the news, seeing everything going on, what must be going on in the hearts of people who are saying there is no hope. People are going to eat each other alive if we keep going like this. There is no hope. This is the way it's been said. And people, those of you who have been around, you know what I'm talking about. The saying is, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. Because now it's just hard sometimes to deal with it, hard sometimes to learn how to handle it. And that's what Solomon is saying. And much wisdom is grief. He said, the more I could see how useless it was, the uglier it made me feel and the worse things seemed to get. No peace, no joy. The more you learn about the world, the more your heart aches for mankind. Solomon says, it became a burden in my heart. Notice what he needed, everybody. There was no peace, there was no joy, there was no rest. He couldn't find it in all of his education, in all of his wisdom, in all of his getting, in all of his trying. He couldn't get to what he really needed. What did he need? Jesus Christ. Remember, Solomon spent a lot of time away from the Lord. Into things, trying to get, trying to understand, trying to get over, trying to figure it all out. When the Lord had told him he needed Jesus, he needed God's word. Instead, he sought and said, I just sought for the wisdom in what the world has to offer. What men do, how they do it, who they're hanging out with, how it all works. And he found that it was all, what did he say in his words? A heavy burden, an empty thing, a waste of time. Remember Jesus saying to all of us that are his, without me, you can do nothing. And we've in there in John, when he says that in chapter 15, we think, what an odd statement. The disciples had to have thought that too. Without me, you can do nothing. What do you mean? I can use my cell phone, man. I can do computer. I can email. Yeah, but you see, then you go to work, you email, come home, go to work, email. Soon, 40 years are going by and you die. What happened? Nothing. Is it sin to email? No. Sin to go to work? No. Sin to go to school? No. Sin to go ahead and go home and sit down and let your ears be filled with news? No. But you get the point? Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. The twig is bent. The old nature is what we have. We need, and you can't unbend it. You can't take that old nature and fix it. You must be born again. And you're going to see all through here, Solomon is going to come to that conclusion at the end of the book. We've come to it now, and we're going to stop here, but you'll see kind of how it all works. But we'll learn more and more about ourselves. And what's cool is as I've been studying through this, I think, oh man, that is so right on. You just couldn't have said it better for the 21st century. And you're going to be amazed. Read through it at some of the things that Solomon noted that have not changed at all. And they're for you and I. Amazing. Just get some time. Read through it. It's only 12 chapters. It won't take you very long. Read through it. It's just kind of fun. Somebody said to me once, I told you, don't read this. This is too negative. No, take a look through. Because maybe you'll see your own self. And it kind of helps us see the way we tick, why we get into psychology, why we get into the philosophical arguments, and why those things are there and they're so worldly. Pray about all these things. Let's bow our heads.